Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
On the line now, I have Louise O'Reilly, who is Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fine Gael. Good morning, Louise. We're going to talk about a couple of things this morning, Louise. One being the rent, the way the rents are increasing in North County Dublin. And it's very hard on people who are renting to make ends meet. How much of a percentage would you say of their wages are they paying?
Well, I think people are paying 50-60% of their wages if they're on, you know, just normal.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily even people on low incomes, if they're just on a normal income. I mean, we were renting in Skerries there recently. We did buy subsequently, but our house that was rented, we were renting it for €1,400 a month, and that was a three-bedroom house, a two-and-a-half-bedroom house. And the day we left, the next couple that rented it were paying €1,800 a month. So it's not even just the actual cost of renting, which is phenomenal, but it's the fear that people have if they need to move for any reason, you know. And I mean, people sometimes do need to move. They change jobs, or they have more kids, or their situation and their circumstances change. It's the fear that, you know, even if you are paying a high rent, that if you have to move, you're going to end up paying an even higher rent. You know, and I think that's a real worry for people. You know, it's clear when you talk to people, you know, because, you know, John, I do an awful lot of canvassing out around our county, Dublin. When you talk to people on the doorsteps, they're afraid. They don't have any security, and they feel like the landlord has the upper hand all the time. And, you know, I mean, when they look into the Dáil and they see that nearly 50% of the TDs that sit in the Dáil are landlords, that makes them know. I mean, really, that's the people who set the laws, not the people in Sinn Féin, but the people who set the laws, the people in government, that a lot of them are landlords. And, they, you know, I suppose renters feel like the government is on the side of the landlords and not on the side of the renters, you know?
Yeah, and is there no legislation out there at all, Louise, to protect renters?
Well, there's not really. I mean, they introduced these things called rent pressure zones, which, you know, and we are in a rent pressure zone in Dublin, where the rent was not supposed to increase by more than 4% every 2 years. But as I said to you, my most recent example of that is less than a year ago, where we left a property and the rent was at €1,400 and the rent went up to €1,800, which is significantly more than 4%. And I think also if you look at the figures, daft.ie published figures, they will show that the rents are rising in some instances at a rate of up to 30%. You know, and that's, I just think that's so terrifying for people. And added to that, you know, you have the fact that the government aren't building social housing. They're not building affordable housing to any great extent. So therefore, people are stuck renting. If they want any security, they have to buy a house. And how are you going to buy a house? How are you going to get your hands on a mortgage deposit of 20, 30, 40,000 euros if you're paying 60% of your income in rent every month? I mean, I know the Taoiseach said that some people can go to the bank of mammy and daddy, but I mean, let's be honest, John, most people can't.
No.
You know, most parents out there, if they have, you know, adult children in their 20s and their 30s, where are the parents going to get their hands on 30 or 40,000 quid? You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously the Taoiseach lives a very blessed and a very charmed life, and maybe all the people around him have mammies and daddies that could put their hand in their pocket for 30 to 40,000. But I tell you, the people I'm talking to, people in my own family, you know, they're not going to be in a position to get their hands on 30 or 40,000 quid to get their adult children onto the... But also, like, what person who's a grown adult wants to be going back to their parents, you know, to say to them, listen, can you help me out with a few bob? You know, I mean, when you grow up and you have a job and you want to, you know, maybe get married or buy a house or whatever, like, you're an adult, you shouldn't have to go back to mommy and daddy and say, I need a hand, you know, because like, people have to be allowed to grow up and leave home and all. And I just think it's awful what's been done to people at the moment, John. It really is.
Yeah, it is. It's heartbreaking. And we have the HAP scheme, but that's no use to people are working, if a couple are working.
No, the HAP scheme isn't much use to people who are on low incomes, but also, and we had this very recently in Donabate, I was in touch with a couple of residents there, and landlords are refusing to take HAP. Now, it is illegal for a landlord to refuse to take HAP, But I know what's happening. You know what's happening. Anyone listening to this show this morning knows that it's happening, because I've seen it in action. I've spoken to people who are trying to get HAP tenancies, and the landlords are just saying no. They're not doing it. Now, they're not putting it down in writing. It's very hard to prove it. It's very hard to take a case against them. But I know, and your listeners will know, anyone that's looking for a HAP accommodation, it's very, very tough to get it. And when you do get it, it's a form of security, but it's not the kind of security that, you know, that tenants really need. Tenants really need long leases. They need to be able to say, you know, that the rent would be linked, and this was a proposal that Sinn Féin made, to link the rent to the Consumer Price Index, so that there would never be any big jumps in the rent. That's the kind of security that tenants need, and they're not getting it, you know. And I worry about people who, you know, they close their door in the evening, John, and they sit at their kitchen table, and they can't figure out how they're going to pay their rent. They can't figure out if they're ever going to be able to afford to save up and buy a house. And those are the people, I think, that are kind of caught in the middle. And those are the people, really, where affordable housing would come into play. You know, affordable housing, so as in the government intervenes to ensure that, you know, housing associations and other bodies are funded to make sure that people can actually afford houses. But there doesn't seem to be any interest in affordable housing coming from the government, even though our spokesperson, Eoin O'Brien, promotes it on nearly a daily basis at this stage. There just doesn't seem to be any interest, and it comes back to the same thing all the time, you know. If the government is made up of people who are landlords, and some of them are, well, then it's in their interest to keep the property crisis going, because that keeps the rent high, you know. And that's been said to me on more than one occasion by people on the doors, and people will say that, you know, that they just really don't feel like the government is on the side of renters.
Yeah, now I've said it on numerous occasions to different organisations that it's an awful pity that DCC seem to be, all councils seem to be getting away from actually building houses.
And, like, you know, I mean, the government keeps saying that money is not an issue, and yet the councils say they don't have money. I mean, Fingal County Council will be one of the better ones in terms of building, and, you know, there's still not a huge amount of building going on. But you're looking at people who are 8 and 9 years on the housing list. Like, if that doesn't tell you that we need to start building social and affordable housing, I don't know what does, you know. I mean, it there's a very, very serious need there. And it is getting worse. I mean, we see the figures, not just in emergency accommodation, but we see the figures of people on the housing list rising all of the time. And I mean, I do a lot of clinics, you know, around North County Dublin, obviously, and I have a full-time office in Swords. We're inundated on a weekly and a daily basis with people who are just losing hope. They're on the housing list, but they really don't feel like they'll ever get anywhere near. They'll never get anywhere near a permanent home, you know. And they're renting. Sometimes they're renting in substandard accommodation. I had a woman in with me the other week who herself and her daughter, who has severe asthma, are sleeping in their living room. And I was thinking about them actually this morning with the cold weather. They're sleeping in the living room of their rented house because the rest of the house is freezing cold. The heating doesn't work. The landlord hasn't fixed it. And, you know, this woman is terrified to leave her property. And I was saying to her, would you not look for something else? She's been looking for something else now for nearly the last 2 years. It's making her daughter sick to live in the house. And yes, she doesn't have any other option, you know. I mean, there's no, and she's on the housing list. She's been on the housing list for the last, I think she's on the housing list for the last 7 years, you know. When you see that's happening, that should be the call to the government to take urgent action, and they just don't seem to be doing it. And, you know, I know Fianna Fáil talk a lot about their record in government, and they tell you when they were in government they built houses, but they're supporting this government, John. You know, they're making sure this government stays in power, so they have to accept responsibility for what's happening, you know, out there in terms of people who are homeless and people who are in rented accommodation, but really need to be able to improve their own standard of accommodation and get somewhere decent to live, you know.
Yeah, and we talked a bit about landlords refusing to get involved with the HAP scheme, and it has been said that they do this because there's inspections. If they accept the HAP, the payment, that there's inspections.
And as well as that, they get locked into a lease for a long term, and they can't. You see, with rental prices increasing, it's in a landlord's interest to not sign a long term lease with a resident. It's in a landlord's interest to play the market and wait for the money to go up. And I'm not suggesting that landlords are bad people. You know, I mean, yeah. Like some of them are very decent. I've had very decent landlords down through the years. They've been very, very good people. But I do think there is an element of people, you know, at this point, who are, you know, using the crisis to make money for themselves. And you add into that the 20,000 people whose mortgages may or may not, but probably will be sold to vulture funds in the next couple of months. Those people now had been dealing with the bank or trying to deal with the bank, and I don't think they were getting much back from the bank. But now the bank has sold their debt onto a vulture fund, so those people now don't know what's happening. But I'd say they're looking at the housing list in their own area, and they're looking at the fact that it's very tough to get anywhere to rent, and they're looking at the price of renting. And I'd say those people also are very worried. You know, I mean, it would be nice if the government did something to actually prevent the vulture funds from the banks from selling on the mortgages, the distressed mortgages, to these vulture funds. Because that's, again, I mean, that's 20,000 families, John, who could potentially be find themselves homeless in the next couple of months. That's very worrying, you know, given that there is a crisis in accommodation at the moment.
Now, the whole selling to vulture funds is frightening, and I can't imagine what it'd be like to be in a situation like that where you're waiting for these people to come along and demand payment.
You know, I mean, you're dealing with people who you don't know. At least if you're dealing with the bank, you might know the bank manager, but you're dealing with people who you don't know, and people who are just in it for a profit. You know, very often they're not based. They're not based here in Ireland in a full-time way, you know. And I would find that now, if I was a person in a property, same as yourself, you'd be waiting on that letter to drop in the letterbox, and I would find that very frightening, you know. And I think I know that Fianna Fáil had legislation this week, which would kind of seek to regulate the vulture funds. But I actually think we need to do what Piers Doherty and what Sinn Féin have been saying, which is to act to prevent the sale to the vulture funds. So instead of saying we'll put some rules in on how the vulture funds are going to behave, we should be saying no to the vulture funds. You know, we should be saying to the vulture funds, oh, you can't come near those distressed mortgages now. We're going to intervene. You know, I mean, the government owns 75% of TSB. Yeah. Pascal Donoghue should be on to the chief executive of the TSB and saying to him, listen, I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to tell you I don't want you to sell those funds, those mortgages to vulture funds. But he's not doing that, you know. And the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have come together to agree on, you know, a piece of legislation. And it's welcome legislation. Like, we're going to support it, but it's not enough. It's nowhere near enough to regulate vulture funds. What we need to be doing is saying, actually, we're not going to sell the mortgages to the vulture funds, which I think would give people, you know, the kind of peace of mind that they really need.
Yeah, and it's like, we're reading all the time about the homeless situation, especially in this weather, and the amount of families who are declaring homeless is increasing all the time. And it's heartbreaking to think that there are children suffering because of this.
I know. And I mean, do you remember last Christmas? I think you and I spoke just before Christmas. I know we've spoken since, but I remember just thinking at the time about kids that were going to spend Christmas in hotel accommodation. And, you know, you're thinking, you know, like with the little children going to bed and thinking, God, will Santi be able to find me? Will he know where I am? You know, I mean, that sort of, it's the human stories that are associated with it, because we hear the stats and the facts and the figures and the doll every day of the week. But when you actually go out and talk to people and you hear the human stories that are behind the statistics, it would absolutely break your heart, John.
It is. It's like we've said it. It is. It's heartbreaking, and it's disgraceful in this day and age that it's going on. Now, as usual, Louise, the time is catching up on us. I just want to move on to the other topic. You welcomed the GAA banning betting companies' sponsorship.
I did. And I think this is, you know, I was at a conference organised by Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan recently. And it was really just to highlight the issue of problem gambling. And Ireland has one of the highest rates of gambling losses online in the world, actually, and one of the highest rates of gambling losses in general. We're in the top three for both. it's very, very worrying, and it's very much a hidden kind of issue for people. It's a hidden addiction for people.
Yeah.
And I would very much welcome the fact that the GAA have moved just to ban sponsorship by betting companies, you know, because I think, you know, we all see our sporting heroes running out onto the GAA pitch and, you know, like the kids, everyone wants to wear the jerseys and all the rest of it. I think it's good that the GAA have said they're not going to advertise gambling. I think a couple of prominent GAA people, like the like of Oisín McConville, have very bravely come forward and shared their story in relation to gambling addiction and in relation to the impact that had on them and the impact it had on their families. And I think, you know, it was a big move by the GAA, and I'm absolutely delighted to see it. I think it sends a really strong message out to kids and a really strong message out to the gambling industry in relation to responsible behaviour.
Yeah, and you're the Sinn Féin spokesperson on health, Louise, and you did say that this is a hidden, it's an addiction, it can become an addiction for certain people.
Yes. No. Oh, it can. And, you know, because it is hidden, you know, I would have been, I have to be honest with you, now, before I started researching this, I would have been very naive on this issue, John. I would have thought betting and you think gambling and you think betting shops. But actually, a lot of this activity has switched online. It's very much, you know, it's open to kids to engage with it in an online environment, which again is a very, you know, is very much hidden, and not just kids, obviously adults as well. And I just think what the GAA have done is to come out and make a statement about, you know, about the sponsorship, and actually it's a very, very positive thing. And I think if it gets us talking about the issue of gambling and gambling addiction and the impact that it has on families, and if it brings it out of the shadows and onto the front page, and, you know, gets everyone talking about it, I think that's the only way that we're going to be able to deal with it. Because anyone that I've spoken to, and I have had since Lynn Boylan's conference, I have had an opportunity to engage with a number of people and a number of organisations who, you know, deal with the issue of problem gambling and gambling addiction. And, you know, when you talk to them, the one thing they say is that they felt when they were going through the addiction, that they felt isolated, that they felt alone. And I think it's really important that, you know, what the GAA has done is it's given us an opportunity to have a conversation about it and to bring it out in the open. And I think, you know, the problem behaviour and the addiction, it thrives in an environment of secrecy, and, you know, where everybody thinks that they're the only person that has this problem, and everybody, you know, thinks that nobody else is doing it. I think actually, you know, what the GAA have done is they've given us an opportunity to really shine a light on it and have a conversation about it. And also, I'm hoping to light a fire under the government to get them to start moving on the Gambling Control Bill, which has been sort of left to fester in the Dáil since 2013, and I'm, you know, we're going to be putting pressure on the government to restart this legislation and actually start to bring in the controls that are necessary and modernise the control mechanism. You know, I mean, this is not about targeting people who place an occasional bet. This is about ensuring protections for people who have problem gambling behaviours and who have you know, problem with gambling addiction.
Yeah, and I've seen it if you go onto certain, particularly English soccer teams' websites, there's always an advertisement for a betting company and, you know, get your free 10 euro bet here. And it's,
that's it. And when you do your free 10 euro bet and
you're
then, you know, you know, you're drawn into it then, you know.
Okay, Louise, sorry about that, we've ran out of time, as usual.
It's always lovely to chat to you, but we do always run out of time.
We do,
I suspect that might be my fault, so I'm sorry.
Well, hopefully the weather will be better next time we talk and you come into the studio to talk to us. Okay, Louise.
I love that.
Right. Thank you very much for taking
the time.
See you
then, John.
Thank you.
Now you can listen again on near.ie.